Let's pray together. Father, thank you for Jesus. Lord, everything that we do is made special and complete because of what Jesus has done for us. This morning, as we seek to try to comprehend the magnitude of your gift, we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to the most special story in the Bible. It is the story of Jesus. And the particular time in this story that we are going to begin with today is the time just after Jesus has died for you and me. But it's too soon for many to understand this truth at the moment in time that we pick up the story in the Bible. You see, at this moment in time, there are two groups who are living in fear. Jesus is dead. He has been placed in the tomb. And there are two groups who are living in fear. Group number one is the disciples of Jesus. The disciples of Jesus are living in fear because they have forgotten the words of Jesus. You see, in Luke chapter 18, we find that Jesus had a very special talk with his disciples. This is Luke chapter 18. We're going to start with verse 31. And the text says, he took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. The disciples did not comprehend the words of Jesus. And so when Jesus was taken in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he was taken and tried in the mock trials and abused and finally nailed to a Roman cross, as the disciples watched and they heard his cry of separation from his Father and finally watched him die, as Jesus died, the disciples crumbled in defeat. They went back to their homes, discouraged, defeated, humiliated. Their hopes were gone. And they were recalling nothing to mind that Jesus had said that would give them any further hope. In fact, they locked their doors. Scripture tells us they were locked in, cowering in fear of the Jews because they were afraid they might be next. So there's one group living in fear after the death of Jesus. But there's another group, ironically, that are also living in fear. And that is the Jews, of which the disciples are afraid. Scripture tells us that the priests and Pharisees were living in fear. Come with me to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. And we are beginning with verse 57. We watch as Jesus has died. And in verse 57 it says, when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of a rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. So Jesus has been buried in this tomb, a large stone rolled across the entrance. But verse 62 describes the fear. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember, while he was still alive, how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard, go your way, make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. To me, the irony of the story is that you have the disciples living in fear because they have forgotten what Jesus said. And you have the priests and the Pharisees living in fear because they remembered what Jesus said. They remembered that Jesus had said in 3 days he would rise again. As I think about the story, I ask myself the question, which group was in greater trouble? Those that heard but didn't remember, or those that heard and remembered but didn't like the message? Either way, the group was facing loss. Either way, neither of this group was maintaining this important element called hope. So my question for you today is simple. Are you living in hope? Or are you living in fear? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Hebrews 2, chapters 14 and 15, gives us the reason that Jesus came. Hebrews 2, 14, "Inasmuch then, as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same." Talking about Jesus. "He himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So there's a group here that is described as being in bondage their entire lives. And why are they held in bondage? They are afraid of death. When I was younger, I can remember being told that mortuaries did not send bulk mail to the community because people would be offended by being confronted with death. Death is something that a lot of people fear. As I read this text, I'm finding that Jesus came and died to release us from the fear of death. I ask myself, why are people afraid of death? Number one, probably is the fear of the unknown. Number two, closely following that, doubtless, is the unbiblical concept that many people have that when they die, they might fall into an eternally burning hell. And if I believe that that was a possibility, then I might also live in fear of death. It might be the fear of the well-being of those who might be left behind once we were to die. Now, to be clear, there is a difference between being afraid of death and wanting death. We don't want to die. Paul made it clear in an often misunderstood passage where he says, I don't want to experience death, but I look forward to being transformed in a new life. God does not want us to live in fear of death. It was as the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews that Jesus met with them and he said, peace be with you. So how do we avoid being caught in this trap? How do you and I encourage those around us who are living in abject fear of death to realize that they and we do not need to fear? I thought about those disciples, pondering the mistake they made. Jesus had told them what was going to happen. And I looked at this text and I thought about it once more. He said he would be delivered to the Gentiles, would be mocked and insulted and spat upon. They would scourge him and kill him. By this point in what Jesus was saying, the disciples had tuned out. You see, we as human beings, we tend, when we encounter something that doesn't fit with what we think is factual or will happen, we tend to tune out. I've talked to an awful lot of people that in their Bible study have tuned out portions of Scripture because they say, well, that part doesn't fit. What happened with the disciples was that the idea of Jesus going through all of this abuse and mockery and torture and finally dying was so far out of their ability to comprehend that when Jesus said that last part, that he would rise the third day, they missed it. They missed the promise because they were so afraid of the warning. It's easy for us to do that today. Growing up, we like to focus on the positive things. We love the portions of Scripture that says, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And that is true. But we need to understand why Jesus assured us he would be with us, even to the end of the world. The reason Jesus did that was because we needed to understand that trouble was coming. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. In the world you are going to face problems. As he talked to his disciples, he explained to them that some of them would be persecuted. Some of them would even be put to death. We don't like to look at those parts of the Bible. We want to read the parts that talk about being protected. We want to read the parts that say nothing bad is going to happen. But if we try to make the Bible say that nothing bad is going to happen, we have to do surgery on the text. And when we do surgery on the text and bad things happen, then we say, God, why aren't you there? And what does God say? I'm sure he wants to try to say to us, I am here. And I even told you that these kinds of things would take place. But you missed that part because you weren't willing to listen. The good news is that when Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, he also said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So even the world, though the world is causing you problems, there is a future. I think about that resurrection scene. The women have come to the tomb hoping to complete the process of embalming their Lord. And as they get there, they begin to worry because they have nobody to roll the stone away. But as we look at the story, there is an earthquake. And Jesus is no longer there. And we listen to the angels speaking to the women. And this is in Matthew chapter 28. The angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. But there's a fascinating little phrase there. When the angel said, he is risen, they threw in one little phrase. That little phrase was, as he said. Perhaps a gentle rebuke to the followers of Jesus. He told you he would rise again. Can you imagine the angel standing there as heaven is rejoicing following the death of Jesus? Heaven is breaking out in song because Satan has been defeated. The ultimate victory has been won. Jesus is resting over the Sabbath, and heaven is in eager anticipation of victory. And Jesus' followers on the earth are completely depressed because they missed the point of what Jesus tried to communicate with them. I imagine what might have been. What if the disciples had listened to Jesus? What if they had said, wait, Jesus said that he would rise again. If they had listened, if they had been willing to accept the fact that things that they didn't want to have happen would happen. But they had followed Jesus and they had listened and they had comprehended. I can just imagine if they had done that. The disciples picking a vantage point from which they could watch the tomb. What might they have been able to experience as they watched an angel flash from heaven, come down to that tomb, roll that stone away, call Jesus? They might have been able to stand there and watch as Jesus proclaimed himself the resurrection and the life. They could have had an incredible experience if they had listened to what Jesus had said. What kind of an experience might you and I have here at the end of time? If you're like me, there may be times that you have kind of avoided looking at the descriptions of the trouble ahead. Why? Because we don't like problems. We don't like to think about rough times. We don't like to think about powers that remove the opportunity to buy or sell. We don't like to think about losing our physical possessions. But if we can just listen to the voice of Jesus, as he says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So instead of cowering in fear at the end of time, instead of allowing ourselves to be discouraged and overcome as the political world falls apart in front of us, if we could hear the angels as we fume about what's happening, they would probably say, he told you that was going to happen. You knew all these things were going to take place. If we can listen to Jesus, we will hear the message. And the message is, yes, you're going to have trouble. But I am with you through the problems, and I am coming soon. So instead of focusing on discouragement or doubt, we need to be the kind of people that are lifting up our heads and eagerly watching so we don't miss out on one moment of watching Jesus come just as he said he would. So instead of living in fear, we need to go out and we need to start gathering a group of people together and encouraging them to be watching for Jesus to come. So that when he comes, we will be at a very special vantage point, which is wherever Jesus put us on this earth, watching, seeing the signs, and rejoicing as Jesus fulfills his ultimate promise to us. So in the words of the angel, go quickly. Share the good news. Jesus is risen. And he is coming to take us home. Please go out and share the good news. He is coming soon. We must prepare to meet our Lord in the air. Again, if any of you have any special prayer needs, we would invite you to come up to the front and share those with somebody here. Let's pray together. Father, you have promised that you will save us. You've promised us that Jesus is coming soon. We claim that promise today. And we look forward to the soon fulfillment when we will gather together at last, home with you. Bless us to this end, we pray, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.